Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Give it up for Jesus tonight. Come on, St. Louis, you look good. My God, so amazing. You can be seated. Of course, this weekend, you know, celebrates the triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we're going to segue into some of the thoughts that he might have been thinking here in a moment. But there's a couple things I do want to get on your mind. Is if you're watching online, you don't have the Faith Church app. The app is amazing, especially if you get the notifications and turn those on. The reason why is this week, every day, I'm going to send out a scripture saying, this is what Jesus did on Monday. This is what Jesus did on Tuesday. This is what Jesus did on Wednesday. How many of y'all be interested in that? So if you have the app, make sure you have the notifications on, because you'd hate to be like, man, what did God do yesterday? Come on now, right? And so we want that. It's going to be great. And then, you know, regular Tuesday night service. And then, of course, Good Friday is the time where we come every week, you know, every year, and receive communion together. The service lasts about an hour. I'll be here in Florida and then in St. Louis on the weekend. And I kind of flip those back and forth. And it's been great. It's been a good week. How many of y'all had a good week? Yeah. If you didn't have a good week, just wave up your left hand so we don't know who to pray for. All right, so many times we spend years and years learning to think the wrong way. How you think really matters. The Bible said, as a person thinks, so is he or she. There's a lot of scientific studies, you know, we've done some in the past that talks about, you know, the brain. We put the big brain on stage, remember that, you know, and talked about the brain and how many of y'all got a bigger brain than the person next to you, right? So it's like, man, my brain is big. But sometimes when you got a big brain, you tend to overthink. And you can get in a habit of just overthinking all the time, and just like your brain can have ruts in it, you could just be just trained to think. In fact, me, I don't care where I go, if I'm at a college campus or I'm at a restaurant or whatever, I can't shut off the part of my brain that says, the trash cans are full, that is dirty, anybody else know what I'm talking about? I just can't. I hate it, but I just can't shut it off because I trained it to turn it on. And a lot of people, you know, around me that are supposed to take care of that, they don't have their brain turned on like that, right? And so it can drive you nuts. And sometimes it's not a very far drive, right? So you might have spent years wrapped up in dysfunctional thinking in your past, and it's a powerful force. So if you struggle with negative thinking, don't be ashamed. It's Saturday night. Watch it online. How many of y'all struggle sometimes with a little bit of negative thinking? You're like, man, if it can go wrong, I'm going to think of all the 10 ways it could go wrong, because you've been in a situation where you had to get scrappy and fight your way out a lot of times. And so there's nothing wrong with being optimistic. There's also there's nothing really wrong with looking at scenarios and situations to go, hey, I want to make sure there's a couple of variables here. But you can train yourself to be so optimistic, you're actually pessimistic, and you're thinking it's never going to happen. It's a powerful force. And so if you struggle with negative thinking, this tonight is really going to help you. What I made a slide for you. Overthinking focuses on what and how and when. And what and how and when. Overthinking focuses on, shout it with me, come on, St. Louis, what? The what and how and when. And what's going to happen? How is it going to happen? And when is it going to happen? And women tend to do this more than men. They're the ones that lay in bed going, gosh, how? And you look over here at this guy and think, he's sleeping, what? And then when? So overthinking does this, is how, what, and when. I got a little video I want to show you. I saw it on TikTok this week, and I loved it, because this little girl demonstrates really how overthinking kind of looks in real life.
No, you're not. Your foot, just put your foot down. Put your foot down. Put your foot down, Naya. Put your foot down. Look it. Look, I'm right here. I got you. Naya, just put your foot down. Right there. See?
I can't.
Anybody ever felt that way? Oh, come on, raise your hand again. You're like, oh, I just don't know what could happen in this situation. And then we stop enjoying our life. Chances are there's a lot of bad things happen in the world, but there's a lot of bad things that happen that you don't know they even happened. If you knew that you were on an airplane and the pilot was drunk, how many of y'all would rather not know he's drunk if you're in the air? Let's try that again for Saturday night. How many of you would not? Since we have no choice, some of y'all would rather not know he's drunk. Some of you are like, I do want to know if he's drunk because I want to get drunk. Come on, raise your left side. Okay. So we tend to overthink and we think it's going to be worse than it is. When God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you take those thoughts and you grab them and you bring them captive, or you check them and go, that's not a godly thought. That's a thought that's going to steal my joy. It's going to steal my happiness. And then really what it does is it messes up your whole life. Now, sometimes you can get a text. I have a friend who, you know, met them secularly, worked on getting them into church, which you should be doing, and did to someone. In fact, when I first saw this guy, I thought he would never go to church because I just, out of all the people on the plane that day, I didn't think he would be the one. He was. But then he kind of, you know, he's very wealthy, so he kind of goes to church when he feels like it and kind of does it. And then he was checking his kid's phone recently, and he found out some stuff that really scared him. And it really checked him. And it was actually a good thing to see it so he could go, wait a minute. Now all of a sudden he said, I want to go to church. I want to bring my kids up in the house of the Lord. So there are things that we can do. I'm not saying to be just like, oh, whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. No, we can kind of pre-program our lives and set up some barriers or some guidelines or some bumpers, like if you're bowling, and say what we don't do is that, and we don't go all the way over here. We keep it in the middle of the road. And for the most part, church, if it's not a part of your life, it's only 52 weekends a year. Okay, so if you're skipping Labor Day, Memorial Day, time change weekend, we're losing a lot of them right here, and you're skipping a lot of them. I'm just real big on, my mind tells me, because I've seen it so many times, that people's lives fail. When I go to the scene of the crash, when you look at it, it's a failed instruction. It's a failed instruction. So God said, trust not in your own mind, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know your heart can think. Your heart thinks. In fact, I want to go here, Mark 4, verse 24. It says, be careful what you are hearing, for the measure of thought, everybody shout thought. Come on, St. Louis, don't leave me hanging here. What? Thought, the measure of thought or study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure or virtue of knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. So, We hear something, and then when we hear it, we get a thought. In fact, Twitter, I'm not on Twitter anymore, but remember when Twitter was a big deal? It's supposed to still air. I'm still on it, but I'm not really on it. People post before me different statements that I say. Okay, so I don't know what's going on out there. But what Twitter started out in is somebody had a thought, and they would put their thought out there, and they would shoot that thought out to you, and then you would grab their thought, and you would start thinking about what they were thinking about. And then you would comment on what they were thinking about. This is happening in media today, in the news today. So with the amount of hearing or thought that you're grabbing, that is how depressed you're going to be or how happy you're going to be. So if you're thinking the whole world is bad, you're going to have a bad life. You cannot have, you ought to write this down. This will be something they'll put in Twitter for you. You'll see it, and they'll say, I said it. And it's true. I said it. I didn't post it, but I said it. You can't have a positive life with a negative mindset. So if you want your life to be positive and your mindset is negative, you're never going to be able to pull that out. So you've got to say, wait a minute, I've got to think about what I'm thinking about, and I'm not going to overthink it. Wow. Overthink it. Everybody shout, don't overthink it. You're going to ask her out? Don't overthink it. Just go out. Don't go, I got to have a car. It's got to be a red car. It's got to be a clean car. I got to get my hair cut. These are all things that might be good. But don't overthink it. Go ask before somebody else asks, and then you're out there alone. I'm get depressing people here right now. Just shoot. Remember, I just came up in my mind. Remember the Jim Carrey movie where he came up and his tooth was chipped and his hair was down, and he went up to the hot girl ride and he asked her out, and she said, what, you know, what did she say? It was like one in a million. What, one in a million chance? And she said, so you're saying there's a chance. He wasn't overthinking. So you need to be looking at the situation going, oh, so you're saying there's a chance. Because with God before you, who can be against you? So when we grab it and grab our thoughts and say, I'm not going to overthink it, I'm going to trust the Lord. Wow. I was preaching at Highlands College, and it's really pretty amazing what all God has done there. And All these students, almost 800 students, and it's mind-boggling what Chris Hodges and the team have done there. And I was talking to him and thinking about how we overthink situations. When we built Earth City, and I'll talk about it tomorrow and spend a little more time in it tomorrow because I'll be preaching at Earth City through video. And when we bought the building, in my mind, I couldn't figure out how we would pay for it. First of all, they said the taxes were like $1,000 a day. So it's $365,000 a year just taxed on the building. Then they said that the electric bill was north of $20,000. And if I'd had the devil between my legs, I'd have beat him to death because I was like, oh my God, there's no way that this could be possible. And then we had to take out 2.2 million pounds of asphalt. And that means they all had to be ripped out and had to be hauled off. And then we had to carpet it. We had to do all this stuff. And here's the kicker. We thought we could do this because we weren't overthinking it because we were stupid. We thought we could do this in 8 weeks. So we booked Joyce Meyer, by the way, I was on the phone with her today talking about the Battlefield of the Mind that she wrote in 1985 that's in over 120 languages talking, and she's coaching me through this sermon tonight. So if it's not too good, part of it's Joyce's fault. So we said, here's the date, Joyce is going to open it. And somehow, some way, our team, our dream team, Austin, the whole crew, everybody, I mean, they're work boots were literally carving holes in their legs. They were bleeding. But we got it done, and it was a miracle, and we were in that 8 weeks. It was just unbelievable. Now, because we had no past experience, we didn't know it couldn't be done. We didn't know that this was impossible. We just thought, with God, all things are possible. Plus, we're good. We can get this done. Now, time goes on. I don't know if you know this or not, but a couple years ago, we bought a church in Fairview Heights. And we have been trying and trying and trying to get it done. And now we're on our way, but it's going to be like September. So that's like, you know, now just sign the contracts. They said we signed the contract in October. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September. What a minute. We did this in 8 weeks. By the way, that campus is what, 24,000 square feet? And our city is 150,000 square feet. The math doesn't add up. My point is, by the way, for those of you who look confused, we also bought a building a long time ago in Lake Worth, Florida. Way more than 8 weeks ago. And it's the size of a Tic Tac. Come on, somebody. It's not that big. And somehow, we can't seem to pull it off. Now, had we had this life experience of Fairview Heights and Lake Worth and whatever else, if we'd have saw Earth City, we'd have thought, after everything we've been through with these other little campuses, my God, might take us, I hope I get it done by the time I'm 60. Y'all track with me right now? My point is that sometimes past experiences, past education can scar you, and you will take out that God factor, which can do exceedingly abundantly above. Come on, somebody. All you could ever ask, think, or imagine. So back to the college students that I left you in Birmingham, Alabama with a minute ago. They were all thinking they could change the world. They just got out of high school. And they're going to take mission trips, and they probably will. And they're going to build this, and they're going to build that. I didn't want to tell them. Just get real. Let's be real. No. I don't want anybody to ever tell somebody with a dream to get real. What if they had told MLK, get real? What if they had told Jesus on the triumphal entry? Get this weekend, he's coming into town on a donkey. They're throwing palm branches everywhere. The donkey's overthinking it, going, man, I didn't realize I was such an awesome donkey. It had nothing to do with the donkey. Jesus is riding on the donkey, and they're celebrating the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But back in his mind, he's got to be thinking, Friday's going to be a bad day. That's when they're going to kill me. So on Sunday, everybody's celebrating, throwing palm branches everywhere. But he didn't overthink it. He did it at the one moment he did say, remember this? You've said this, that maybe you saw a meal that was bad. You said, God, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for me. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass for me. But not my will, but thy will be done. And thank God we'll celebrate this Good Friday where Jesus presented his body, his mind, his spirit. He went to hell. Come on, somebody. And we're celebrating today. Don't overthink it. Let's go to Proverbs 14, verse 30. St. Louis, you follow me here? It says, a calm and undisturbed mind, this is the Amplified Bible, and heart, a calm, undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But, everybody shout, but. Shout it real big. What?
But.
Look at your neighbor and shout, get your big butt out of the way. Come on, tell us. Get that was a big butt, right? But envy, jealousy, wrath, it's like rottenness of the bones. When God was writing this, there was no Instagram to see that your friend got a nice car and you didn't, to see that they went to Fiji and you didn't. So girls are looking at other girls' stuff. She just woke up like this. No, she didn't. They're going on another trip. By the way, girls always want to go out on a trip. And they could be like, it's Tuesday. Like, it's been such a hard week. We're 2 days into this. How hard could it have been? It's been bad. We need to go out. And then we need to go out on a trip. And then we need to go. They like to go, go, go. Come on. Raise your hand, ladies. You like to go, okay? But if you're not careful, you can be looking at somebody else's life and it disturbs your mind and your heart because you're looking at what they got. And consistently, let's put it up there, consistently comparing your life to others. I put it there so you can take a screenshot of it if you want it. I know it's there. Consistently comparing to others. Because of social media, you lose your health. It causes rottenness to your bones because you're not thinking about what you're thinking about. This whole book of the Bible, all 66 books, is a detailed instruction of how to control your mind and to not overthink. Ruminating, I put that up there too, because ruminating is not resolving a problem. So you just ruminate. I just ruminate over it. I think about it. There's some ruminating cows. They tell me that they eat it. It's kind of gross, but Saturday night I'll go for it. They throw it up, and then they eat it again. That's nasty. You ever seen a dog do that? Raise your hand. No. Some of you wouldn't vote never over what I asked. They eat. They spit it up, and then that's it. You say, well, that's sure nasty. Well, that's what you do all the time. You think about a bad thought. Oh, I'm casting upon the Lord. Then I better chew on it again, because after all, I don't trust God. God, I got some ideas. Hey, you got a pen, God? You got a little bit of time? I think we should talk to God, but we should talk to God in confidence. And here's one of the ways that you can enjoy your life. After you've told God the problem, God, I'm thanking you that you have done it. Because what happens is you tend to think that the redundancy of prayer or the repetition of prayer is going to make God move. And it makes you feel better, but what it really is doing is it's your spirit man's telling you, thank God again. Not to remind him, like, hey, God, you haven't forgotten that my rent's $843.26? You're saying, God, I thank you that I know that you're working behind the scenes. And I'm not going to worry about it. I know I'm going to think on what is right, and I'm going to control my mind right now, and God, you meet all of my needs. Does that make sense to you? It keeps your heart calm. Keeps your spirit undisturbed. It keeps you happy. Because life's too short for you to be upset. I got a DM today on Instagram from a woman that goes to our church, and I can't get to all the DMs, but I do. Sometimes I look at some of them. This one, I just felt led to DM her back because she said that she's X amount of weeks pregnant and it's not feeling right and she's really worried. And she said, I'm just scared. I won't carry it to term. So she goes to the church. I know she is. So I sent a voice text back over the Instagram and I said, hey, I just feel like the Spirit of the Lord is telling me to tell you to quit worrying about it, because by worrying about it, it's only upsetting the chemistry inside your body. And if you'll just trust the Lord and rest, you're going to feel better. Check back with me later today or tomorrow. Let me know how that goes. I haven't heard back from her, but I bet tomorrow she's going to tell me, I felt so much better. I started feeling better. Why? Because where the mind goes, the man follows. Have you ever felt a little tired, said you were tired, somebody looked at you and said you were tired and asked if maybe something was wrong with you, and by the end of the day, you're like, I think I need to go home. I don't think I'm doing it. And where the mind goes, the man follows. Philippians, let's go there, St. Louis. Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, for the rest, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy, of reverence, of honorable, seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is lovable, it's like almost nothing on the news. Whatever is kind, winsome, and gracious, nothing on the news. If there's any virtue or excellency, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on, weigh and take account of these things, fix your minds on them. If there's I mean, that's it. Doesn't that seem right? It's even common sense to you. Like, yep, that's sure, that makes a lot of sense to me. Because when I'm thinking about this injustice and that injustice, and people are going around so mad, they're literally so mad that they've turned themselves mad. Like, they went nuts. America's full of a bunch of mad, angry people. But thank God for Faith Church, where we come here and say, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to take account and we're going to weigh down our mind on these things. We're going to fix our minds on whatever is lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Hey, listen, God's doing a lot of great things around the world. He's healing people. He's setting people free. We're building churches in the time where they're trying to destroy churches. Listen, we are believers. Who ever heard of an unbelieving believer? We are believers, not doubters. We're blessed and favored and strong and courageous, and the Lord is with us. He's protecting us. I was even thinking this week, because it breaks your heart when you see over in Russia that all those 40 people were massacred yesterday in that big venue, and the ISIS came in and took credit for it, and they're such liars. You never know if it was them or not. It's like the devil always had to take credit. So it might have been them, might not have been. But 40 people just gunned down, and maybe over 100 people injured very severely. And man, I hate that. Hate that. But then I got to thinking about the incident in Lakewood when that terrorist came in there a couple weeks ago, and she had the same kind of rifle, and she didn't hit one person. Getting really quiet because you're like, I don't know if I believe in the politics behind this. I don't know what's going on. No politics. Somebody came in, a terrorist, and they decided they were going in the choir. I've talked to the chief. I talked to the mayor. I was there. And they got the video surveillance, and they were going to go up behind. She was going. It was a transgender person, went behind the curtain, tried to stand behind there to mow them all down. But they weren't able to do it. My point is over here at this place where, God, I hate that happened. That's tragic. I'm not making light of that. But I just think that's exactly what the devil wanted to do at the church. But no weapon formed against them prospered. And that person was taken out. And God rest their soul. And we hate that. But my point is, if you're not careful, you'll worry and fret and think, I'm not going to go out. I'm not going to live my life. No, you got to live your life and think, God, I thank you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And you trust God, live your life, and don't ever think it. Remember when you were a little kid and it first came out that they were going to put razors in candy? Remember that? Come on, raise your hand if you're that old. It's like, I remember my dad, and they were like, you can't go out. You can't go trick-or-treating. They're putting razor blades in candy. You come to find out, it was just my parents trying to pre-eat all my candy prior to the razor blade. So the enemy's always trying to make you live your life in fear. God's trying to make you live your life through faith. And faith and fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So whatever you tolerate in your life, fear, what it's going to do is going to make you stay preoccupied with perfection. I put that down for you. You're preoccupied with perfection. I would not worry if things were perfect. I wouldn't worry if my husband wasn't stupid. I wouldn't worry if my wife wasn't a spender. I wouldn't worry if my kids weren't. No, you don't worry because God said not to worry. He said, consider the lilies of the field. They do their toil. They don't sow, no reap, and the Heavenly Father looks out for them. Consider the birds of the air, God looks out for them. He said, don't you think that you're more precious than them? He knows the hairs on your head. As you lose them, he knows the hairs on your back. Gentlemen, come on, go with that. But if you're preoccupied with perfection, what you're doing is you're always looking ahead, and you're asking, what if? What if I do it? Would I fail? For instance, with the Earth City, like I told you, when it came available to buy that building, $21 million building, we've got one campus. I've only been a pastor for like 2 or 3 years. I've got some of the donors who are against it because they want us to stay right there. And I had to go in faith and look ahead instead of saying, well, if I look ahead, what if they leave? By the way, they did. You know what happened when they left? God brought me way more donors, and God took care of me. So you got to stop asking, what if, and you got to say, wait a minute, I'm gonna trust in the Lord, and I'm gonna follow my faith and not my fears. I'm gonna follow my faith and not my fears. Nobody's ever want to hear you. Nobody ever want to hire you. Nobody ever want to marry you. Nobody'd ever. No. Somebody's going to want to marry you.
Yeah.
I watch enough TV to tell you there is somebody for everybody. I've taken enough trips through theme parks to go, he got her, she got him. I just want to tell the church, there's somebody for everybody. I took this down this week. I want to put it on the screen, and it's a little thing that somebody sent me, and I like it. It says, no fear. It said, you will have zero fears, worries, and stresses if you're okay with wherever God puts you and with whomever and doing whatever. When you have conditions on your life, you create fear. I'm okay if my marriage stays intact. I'm okay if I don't lose my house or my job. I'm okay if my kids are okay. You now have reasons to worry. Instead, build your trust in God so you know it'll be okay no matter what. Be at peace, sure that whatever circumstances you walk through, they're temporary. And God has a plan. No fear, no worry, no stress, then God's wins. Isn't that good? I like it. I wanted to screenshot it. You could Instagram it. Make sure you put my name at the bottom. I don't know who I stole it from, but I stole it from somebody. So if you're comfortable with whatever, I'm cool with it. My dad used to say, when you decide to stand in faith, you're like, I'm standing no matter what. He said, you won't be standing long. But it's when you're in and out and you're ambivalent that you lose your peace. John 14:27, let's look at it, class. It says, peace, my peace I leave to you. One translation says, I bequeath to you. It's like a reading of the will. I leave with you. I give to you, not as the world gives. I give to you. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Listen, God would have told you to not let your hearts be troubled and not let them be afraid if it was impossible to do. You control the scenario. You control you. Everybody shout that with me. I control me.
I control me.
One more time. What?
I control me.
So the devil is controlling your life because he's controlling your thoughts. I had today I saw the Amazon Prime truck driving, and I just kind of put this slide together. It says, Satan offers you wrong thinking to everyone, but we don't have to accept his offer. The Amazon driver in St. Louis at my house always brings to my house my neighbor's packages. No matter how many times I tell them, this is not the address on the mailbox. This isn't the address of the other five packages that you just dropped. This address, see this, buddy? That belongs to that other mailbox and up the other driveway. Okay. Next week I'm out of town, I come home, I got five packages. Four packages are the neighbor's, and one package is mine. This is so common that my neighbor, who I only met one time, at Christmas time, sent me a note and said, thanks for being such a great neighbor and delivering all my packages. So just because it gets delivered to your address doesn't mean the package is for you. So you need to look at the package and go, no, Mr. Devil, you're at the wrong house. I'm not accepting defeat, lack, cancer, debt, stress. No, not today. No. No, thank you. No, thank you. I'm free. I'm happy. I'm blessed. I'm favored. Come on, man. All right, I'll be done in 2 minutes. Raise your hand if you give me 2 more minutes. That's over an hour worth of teaching right there. 2 Corinthians, this is so good, it's too good not to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh as mortal men and women, we are carrying out a spiritual warfare. It sounds kind of hard. According to the flesh, using the weapons of man. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood. Our weapons are divinely powerful. Everybody shout, divinely powerful. For the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. Being ready to punish every act of disobedience when your obedience as the church is complete. So our weapons are not physical weapons. I wish I could have that weapon and I'd solve this problem. No. You can solve it with your faith if you're not in fear. Just trust the Lord. Say, God, I thank you that you're bringing and working all things together for my good. I thank you, Lord. I don't have to get it. You've already got it for me. I got one, because a lot of times my stuff comes in the area of financial pressure. Anybody ever had financial pressure? Raise your hand if you've had some financial pressure. If you didn't, if you haven't raised your hand, I want to talk to you after church tonight because we need a check from you. And this is so cute. This is like me almost every week. And I pray for money. Look at this little kid. Watch this. So cute. He's screaming, unhappy. They didn't have the audio up, but he was screaming. Ah! And they handed him the money. He said, ha, ha, ha. Stand up with me right now. You can't live your life, as I said, with a happy, expected future if you don't enjoy your present right now. You know, we had this here because this illustration is, when I put my hand in here, I can get it in, but I can't get it out as long as I have the worry. But if I let it go, I get my hand out. But when I go in there, I can't. So a lot of you look like this at church. You're like, trying to button your shirt, pick your nose. You can't. You're walking through life like this, with this weird extremity. But if I let go of it, I get my hand out. So you're sticking in there going, well, I better worry about that. I better concern myself about that. I better think about that. My husband's not thinking about it. So this problem ain't going to solve itself. No, it's not going to solve itself. God's going to solve it when we trust in God. But every time you stick your hand in there, it really limits your ability to type, text, shake hands, hug, make a hot pocket. Come on, go with me right now. You can't punch the microwave. You can't put in the numbers on your Netflix account. You can't do nothing. But if you let go of what's in there and you say, no, this is yours, God, and I'm going to put it over here, and the rest of this week, I'm just going to try it during Holy Week. Every day when I get the notifications on the app, I'm going to try this every week, all week. I'm going to say, God, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, that you're taking care of this. Oh, you're going to have to go back for surgery. Nah, but I don't. But if I did, God was with me before and he'll be with me again. Oh, but you know, what if the baby comes early? No, the baby's coming right on time because I'm not overthinking the process right now. With long life, he's going to satisfy me and show me his salvation. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. I'm trusting God. I like that song we sing. I'm trusting God, my Savior, the one in it. We just ought to be singing worship songs. I want you to stretch your hands toward me today. If you say, Pastor David, I want you to pray for me. The sermon hit me good. It helped my spirit. Been overthinking money, been overthinking health, been overthinking marriage, been overthinking the kids. That's right, St. Louis. I see you. Online, Facebook, wherever you're at. Say, it's me, it's me, it's me. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every person in the sound of my voice has been overthinking these scenarios and situations. They've got their hand in this proverbial vase and they're holding on to something they should let go. God, I thank you, Lord, that today's the day that they're going to cast all their cares upon you. Today's they're going to say, you know what? I'm going to let go of what was holding me and I'm going to trust God for my preferred future. And God, this is a special anointed Holy Week. We're going to be praying and fasting this week for lost people, our friends that we're going to invite to church. God, this is a week where you obviously went into town with the Palm Sunday, but then Friday was there. And then Silent Saturday, while you were in hell defeating the enemy. And then, God, you victoriously arise this next weekend on Easter. And God, we celebrate that. And if you suffered the mental anguish for us, we're not going to carry it any longer. We're giving it to you. We're trusting you. We give you our heart. We give you all the cares. In Jesus' name. Let's sing that, Colin. I trust you.